Oh, this wooden toy set is really, really fun.
It is.
We could pretend it's like real life.
Kids love to play, and play that points to Jesus is a big part of a child's faith journey. Wooden toys from Wicking Vicar do just that, growing the faith through play. Wicking Vicar's Children's Church playset lets little ones delve into the divine service, and the Children's Advent Wreath is a safe way for kids to make the Advent tradition their own. Solid wood and heirloom quality for children ages 3 and up. Order yours today at wickingvicar.com and click on Wooden Toys in the menu bar. This Christmas, gift the children in your life faith-building wooden toys from Wicking Vicar.
Philip ran to the Ethiopian and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" Like the Ethiopian eunuch, there are millions of people around the world who want to understand what the Bible says, but they need someone to guide them. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation translates books like Luther's Small Catechism, which opens Scripture's meaning. To learn how you can help introduce people to the Savior, visit lhfmissions.org.
Listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
We're going on an adventure today, and it involves singing in choir. This
yeah.
is going to be fun. Rachel, yeah. you have an adventure in Lutheranism for us today. What are we doing?
We're joining the church choir, Sarah.
Yay! I love church choir.
So these Adventures in Lutheranism episodes are ideally the way they're supposed to work is one of us is supposed to identify some aspect of Lutheran life or culture and either experience it for the first time or re-experience it in a new way. You know, make it an adventure, right? Mm-hmm. And so we recently moved. And when you move, you get to experience a new church. And if you are a singer, that means you have the choice of joining or not joining the church choir, but we're joiners. So we joined the church choir.
Yay!
And it's been an adventure. It continues to be an adventure. I will say this almost makes up for the fact that I did the adventure in Lutheranism on Altar Guild, intending to join the Altar Guild. Mm. I still haven't joined the Altar Guild.
Rachel, join the Altar Guild already.
But we just joined the choir, okay?
Join the choir.
We need to have a part three of the Altar Guild.
I will get my courage one of these days. It's just those ladies look like that all together and I don't. And
oh man,
it's
that's
intimidating.
Really funny.
All right. One day. But this one I actually have done and I did it very eagerly. I love choir. And then I looked back and I realized that of all the episodes we've done on Lutheran life and hymns
yep.
and mm-hmm. singing. Etc. We've actually like seriously covered church choir.
You're nope. right. We haven't.
And then immediately I felt regret. Like I should have made this a trivia episode.
Oh, that would have been really interesting.
It would have. How much do you know about the history of sacred choral music?
Probably not as much as I think I do.
Probably, but I don't know more than you think you do. So we'll just do a brief tour
okay.
of that to get us started. Okay, since this
I'll
is a new topic for
an
us.
Estimated score on the trivia if I had played this for real.
Okay, right. Yeah. So choral music goes way back in mm-hmm. Western culture, and this is going to be limited to Western culture, which is what I know and which is what gave rise to the Christian church. So maybe someday I'll do a deep dive into other cultures around the world. But it goes back at least to ancient Greece, where we have Delphic hymns from the 2nd century AD.
Okay.
And of course, the Greek chorus figures prominently in Greek drama. If you've ever read any Sophocles, you know that. And the one thing I take away from that is that early choral singing was religious.
Okay.
Makes sense.
That people got together and they sang together. And what did they sing? They sang hymns. Mm-hmm. And of course, we see that tradition in the Hebrew Psalms as well. Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot of Hebrew pop songs have made it into the record, but a whole lot of Hebrew sacred music has. And this was interesting. One of the latest examples of this Greek music, the Oxyrhynchus hymn, is interesting to historians as possibly the earliest Christian music.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's a fun name.
Yeah, it is.
Is that the name of a person?
I don't know. This was not a deep dive, I'll be honest. This was a skimming the surface. The earliest known manuscript of a Christian Greek hymn to contain both lyrics and musical notation.
Cool. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Do we know how to read the musical notation, or is that something that people are just guessing? They're like, this is clearly like, did they know what it sounds like? That's what I mean.
I don't know.
Okay. Like you said, it's not a deep dive. So
yeah.
First,
we'll have to revisit this
like
at some point.
On to a part where you're like,
yeah, you're like, keep parsing me. I'm losing my own trivia challenge right now.
Let's get it back on track here.
All right. I need to remember the advice I gave one of my children this morning upon looking at yesterday's math homework.
Oh, no.
I don't know is not a valid mathematical answer. I mean, you could say there is no answer, or should I say IDK?
Oh, no.
So, yes, going back to Greek pagan religious tradition and also Hebrew Jewish tradition and early Christian tradition, we sing together to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Can I give you a bit of trivia? Hopefully I'm not spoiling anything for you.
No, go ahead.
You know what the oldest hymn in our hymnal is? That I'm pretty sure it's the oldest.
I could give you like within five guesses. But yes, what's the oldest hymn in our hymnal, Sarah?
652, Father, we thank thee, is from the second century. The Didache in second century. So you're talking about second century singing.
Nice.
We have second century in our hymnal. It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
I love that.
That is.
It's a Louis Bourgeois tune, of course.
Although there may actually be part of the hymnal that goes back further, because I'm seeing in this talk, we're on a major rabbit trail right now.
That's fine. We're in the weeds and we all love it.
But another early hymn that is in the running with the Oxyrhynchus hymn for the earliest extant Christian Greek hymn text is Phos Hilaron.
Oh.
That's liturgy, though. That's not a hymn.
What?
This is sacred choral music. I didn't say anything about hymns.
That's true.
Fair. You're right. You're right.
If you know your evening prayer liturgy is the one that begins Joyous Light of Glory.
I love it.
Uh-huh.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that is also old in the liturgical part of the hymnal, yes.
Indeed.
Okay. That would be a cool name, though, also for a kid.
Fossilaron.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's odd. And then they're like, it's actually Fossilaron. And then... And
yes,
they can start singing. They would have all the friends, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Okay,
no doubt.
Back on track.
Great choir name. All right,
back to choir.
Fast-forwarding a little bit, we still see this connection between group singing and religious practice and worship through the centuries that follow. So, whether you consider the modern Western choral tradition to start either with Gregorian chant in the Middle Ages, or with the polyphonic works of composers like Palestrina or William Byrd in the early Renaissance, it doesn't change the fact that sacred choral music, that is to say music to the glory of God and the edification of God's people, predates secular choral music by centuries.
Mm. Hey, there we go.
Yeah. Okay. So this is like our thing. So with apologies to groups like Pentatonix and Straight No Chaser, which I love, Christians were there first.
Mm-hmm. It's our thing, guys.
It is our thing. And especially for us as Lutherans, because singing in groups is something that we've done since the very beginning of the Reformation. There's a couple of articles here that I will link to in the show notes. One of them, though, is from the Lutheran Reformation website on singing the Reformation. And that is by Jonathan Sweat. And he writes, one of the central figures of church music during the Reformation period was Martin Luther, who expressed on numerous occasions that next to theology, he accorded music the highest praise. Yes. In contrast to other notable reformers of his day, Luther believed that music was, quote, a gift of God to be nurtured and used by man for his delight and edification, as a means for giving praise to the Creator, and as a vehicle for the proclamation of God's word.
Yes.
And of course, there's that wonderful quote attributed to Luther, he who sings prays twice.
Yeah.
So we like our singing. We like singing together. Lutheran composers were instrumental in developing the cantata and the chorale, obviously.
Yes.
Yes. We think of Johann Sebastian Bach, of course, who was the just king of this kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
But other composers like Dietrich Buxtehude, Georg Philipp Telemann, there are a number of Lutheran composers who were writing these cantatas for the church.
Mm-hmm.
For use in the church, for good singers to use, to share their gifts, to sing God's word and praise his name in the sanctuary. So this goes way back. And it continues down to the present day, or at least almost the present day. Yeah, it's the present day. But I love this quote from, I don't know if you've ever heard Garrison Keillor's Young Lutheran's Guide to the Orchestra.
Oh,
it's this hilarious piece he does I think he first put it out in like 1994. That's why, mm-hmm, I say almost the present day.
That was definitely like 30 years ago, right?
Oh, I feel old. Stop. So if you haven't heard this, go look it up. It's really funny. He's trying to find the perfect instrument for the young Lutheran to play in the orchestra, mm-hmm, admitting that a lot of them sort of have some shady baggage that might or might not work with a Lutheran worldview. And of course, his understanding of a Lutheran worldview doesn't exactly align with, mm-hmm, that of many Lutherans that I know.
Yeah.
But he's got this great quote near the beginning of that sketch where he says, most Lutherans aren't musicians. They're choir members, mostly altos and basses. And they can be sure that their gift is God-given, because who else but God would be interested? Nobody goes into choir music for the wrong reasons.
Oh no. That is scathing.
So yes, Lutherans in all our basic boring goodness have gotten associated with choir music, for better or for worse, and I would say for better.
Yes,
it is a thing that we do, and we do well.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. Of course, all of our choirs took a hit generally during COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember singing in masks, which I hope I never have to do again in my life, because you go to take a deep breath for your high notes as a soprano.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like half the volume of air as normal getting through your mask and into your lungs. And it was a mess. My daughter had a specially made singing mask. I don't know if you've heard of these.
Yeah.
With like zip ties sewn into the front. So it gave her a little bit more. It looked so strange.
Like a beak. Mm-hmm.
It was it gave her some extra space in front of her mask. Yeah. Still not ideal.
No.
And all of those masks, after a few weeks, doesn't matter how well you wash them, they start smelling so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, let's not do that again.
Let's not.
Mm-mm.
But choir figured prominently in the early days of COVID. Do you remember this story?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There was early in the pandemic, there was a super spreader event in the Northwest,
mm-hmm,
Washington State, maybe?
Somewhere up there, yeah.
Yeah, it took place after a community chorus made up mostly of older women, mm-hmm, got together. They were trying to be safe, so they avoided hugs and handshakes, but then they proceeded to stand near each other for 2.5 hours and sing.
Mm-hmm.
And 52 out of 60 singers got sick.
Yep. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. Which was kind of a black eye for choir music,
mm-hmm,
at the time. But COVID also brought some new exposure to choirs. Do you remember all those self-isolation compilation choral videos?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was a huge thing. Like, people were so bored.
It was a big thing. We did some of that for International Center Chapel, too.
We
put together some virtual choir stuff. Yeah.
You might have to send me a link to add to the show notes, which are going to be quite substantial. If you want to dig in, there will be some fun resources to look through. Stroll down memory lane with the IC virtual choir.
Yeah.
Well, I want those memories. But we did some stuff.
That COVID was a rough time for singing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But even in spite of the super spreader events and everyone being extremely suspicious of people singing together for a long time, I remember the social distancing that we tried to do at our church to do it safely. So masking and social distancing, which weren't fun. Yet, I think all in all, the pandemic was not terrible for choirs and they've bounced back really well.
Hmm.
So we've got a story here that a friend of mine, I was talking about church choir, as I do sometimes with a friend who is not Lutheran, but a devout churchgoer herself. And she sent me this article from the Baptist News talking about interest in choral singing is not declining in America. I'll give you the second part of that headline in a moment. But so choral singing generally is kind of on the rise. It's like having a comeback as people are sort of hungry for these authentic experiences, these analog hobbies, the opportunity to like sustain authentic social connections, which choirs are great for.
Yeah.
And there's also some interesting clinical evidence coming out showing how good choral singing is for you.
Yeah.
Got an article from Psychology Today, which cites three different studies showing that choral singing, various studies have shown that it decreases feelings of loneliness and depression. It lowers anxiety and boosts optimism so that people who sing in choirs are more likely to have a generally positive view of life. It reduces stress hormones and interestingly increases cytokines, which are those proteins that support the body's ability to fight illness.
Hmm.
So like it's good for your immune system.
Yeah.
And it also promotes strong social bonding and powerful feelings of uplift. So it's really good for you. Singing is good for you. Singing in a group is even better for you and can have some real mental health benefits, but also some physical health benefits.
Yeah.
So that brings me back to this Baptist News choir article.
Uh-huh.
Full headline. Interest in choral singing is not declining in America. So why are church choirs disappearing?
Mm. Oh, no. That got dark quickly.
Yes. And this came out in 2022. So I would like to think that maybe the news is stale at this point, but I kind of doubt it. I think probably the trend that they were seeing is still continuing. They cited some interesting data in this article, which they got from Chorus America, an advocacy research and leadership development organization, which is really fun that choirs have their own advocacy groups, that 43 million American adults and 11 million children are singing in choirs today, and that there was an increase in choral singing since 2008 from 14% to 17%, which is significant.
That's something.
Yeah. However, the National Congregation Study, which has conducted several research projects since 1998, has shown that between 1998 and 2019, the percentage of choirs had decreased by 12% in worship.
Wow.
So it went from over 50% to just over 40% in 20 years, which is, I mean, considering some of the other catastrophic free falls in church demographics that have happened over the same time period, I guess that doesn't seem so bad, but it is a trend that if it continues, will mean the end of church choirs before too long here.
Yeah.
They found some other interesting things from this study, and I'll just read these out to you because I thought they were interesting. That church choirs are more likely to be found in the southern United States.
That's not surprising.
Mm-hmm. And that theologically moderate churches were more likely to have choirs than either liberal or conservative churches.
Huh. Okay, that is surprising.
The most likely churches to have church choirs at 75% are Black Protestant churches, which actually doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
But the fact that they were followed by Roman Catholic churches did surprise me.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. I would have thought like Anglican or Lutheran.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But in oftentimes in polls like these, Lutherans are not separated.
That's true.
That Lutherans are not considered separately. Yeah. We are either lumped into mainline Protestant or evangelical Protestant.
True.
Yeah.
So that might have skewed things a little bit.
That's super interesting, though.
Uh-huh.
Huh.
And the other interesting part was that then this surprised me very much, was that white liberal congregations are more likely at 47% to have a choir than white conservative evangelical or fundamentalist churches at 34.3%.
Huh.
And the author here speculates that a lot of that, he says, where have all our choirs gone? He says a lot of that is due to one trend in particular. He says, our white conservative evangelical churches clearly have moved from choir-led worship in favor of band-led, praise team-only worship services.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because music and worship services certainly hasn't lessened in importance.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
So churches with a worship team, which may include multiple singers or may just include one singer at a time, are much less likely to have a full-bodied church choir.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting trade-off there. Mm-hmm. That you might get something that is a lot more polished, a lot slicker sounding, but involves a lot fewer people.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to turn this around. Now that we've gotten to the present day, we've looked at our problem, potentially. We've looked at our glorious past. I want to ask you, what have you witnessed in terms of the trends in Lutheran church choirs in your lifetimes? Do you think this info is accurate? Does it apply to us? Do you think church choirs are more or less common and or vibrant today than they were when you were younger?
Hmm. That's a really interesting question. I might be in too much of a bubble to answer this with any kind of accuracy. So I joined my adult church choir when I was in sixth grade, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was middle school age and I joined our adult church choir and it was pretty big. I mean, this was early 2000s. So our congregation was still fairly large at that point. And I mean, it was a pretty strong choir. And then I went away to college and sang in choir there. And then the church that we joined in Chicago, we had a choir and we sang really great music. Thank you, Emmy Book. But it was small. I mean, we had like three or four guys, I think, and maybe six women, maybe. It was fairly small. No, it wasn't a huge congregation. So, you know, percentage ratios or whatever. And then we moved to St. Louis. And so here's my funny choir story. We were deciding what church to join in St. Louis. And so my husband, who is a semi-professional? He sings. He teaches singing for a living, partially. Yeah. So he is an incredibly, incredibly good singer. And
he and I are both blessed with those sorts of marriages.
Right. Uh-huh. And he has conducted choirs in the past. He conducts our choir occasionally when our cantor is gone. And so we decided to go to a choir rehearsal at the church we ended up joining. And he was like, oh, we'll just go to a rehearsal. It doesn't mean we have to join the church. And I was like, husband, obviously we're going to join the church if we're going to a choir rehearsal. And that is what ended up happening. We went to a choir rehearsal and we were members of the choir before we were members of the church, if that's even possible. So
it's definitely possible.
We got sucked in to choir at church and we're still there. But the trend at our church, our choir is at least twice as big as it was when we started there 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We have more men than women, which is really odd for a church choir.
That is.
We are consistently lacking in sopranos. Also interesting. At one point, it was me and one other soprano with a whole bunch of other people. We do lack tenors, but I feel like every choir lacks tenors.
That is a common problem. Yeah. they all went to go be pop stars.
Right now we don't lack tenors. We gained quite a few this year. But before last year we lacked tenors. We also have a very high number of high schoolers in our adult choir, which is a growing trend for us. I think every section right now has at least one. The men, part of the reason we have so many men is because we have, at least four or five high schoolers singing both tenor and bass. So, and a lot of them come with their parents and we just also mm-hmm. happen to have a lot of kids in our congregation. So therefore we have more kids in our choir. So I don't know that I can be super accurate because I, at least in my circles, I'm seeing a trend up in church choir attendance and people being interested in choir. But I also exist in circles where people want to sing a lot. And so we all kind of encourage that.
And you're in a church that has actively invested in its choral program.
Yes.
Like, this is a point of emphasis. This is not a sort of like way off to the periphery
right.
kind of activity for you. And I think maybe what your church is doing is sort of working with this broader cultural trend. And I think the point of that article that I read was partly, hey, churches, this is happening in the world. Get with it.
Yeah. You know,
this could be a real point of community building and outreach for you. And it mm-hmm. sounds like your church is actually working with that trend.
Yeah. I mean, we have two feeder choirs essentially, because choir for us starts when you turn, I think, 4 and a half
mm-hmm.
is our youngest kids choir. And then from there you move into the next kids choir. So like we have this whole system of like, you start when you're young mm-hmm. and you just keep on going and mm-hmm. until you can't sing anymore when you're, you know, I don't know.
Well, that definitely fits with the demographic research. This article says straight out, quote, the key to lifelong singing is starting when children are young. The findings show yes. that both schools and faith communities that have graded choir programs produce the greatest number of students who will become lifelong singers.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. awesome.
Yep. You can That's ask it. My husband all about that research of when you should have your kids singing in choir, because he has lots of opinions about it. But it's all like science about like it is super important to be singing with your kids from the very, very beginning to make sure they grasp onto all those musical concepts. But that is a different episode.
Yeah, we should definitely come back around to that. So what about you, Aaron?
So my choir experience is not nearly as robust as Sarah's. But I mean, to be fair, Sarah is more of an outlier in this area than most. So in the church that I'm at, I've been a member there for about 20 years, and they've gone through some different phases with choir. So there was a time where we had a choir that would practice outside, like that had a dedicated evening of practice sort of thing, a weekly choir night practice, would sing regularly. We had a person on staff, not full-time, but a paid staff person who was responsible for the choir. And as our church has, you know, like a special, I feel like a special one. At one point, the choir director we had moved. She and her husband moved, and we were sort of looking at what we could afford. And our previous choir director was also a member, which is a different situation. But as far as what we could afford for music director situation, we found that we were not able to continue to pay somebody that could do that much of a choir program. So we do have someone who works with special music, but at the moment we don't have a choir that meets on a dedicated choir night to practice and rehearse. But we do have regular times where people in the church are invited to come and we rehearse, but it's really just more of like we rehearse on one Sunday for what we will sing the next Sunday. And it's not complicated, but it's still group singing.
Yeah.
And so it's a more scaled down version of it, but it also makes it somewhat more accessible mm-hmm. for people that maybe haven't done any sort of fancy choir before. So we also have a lot of the kids that participate with that. And they're working on, they've been sort of came back from the Worship Institute this summer.
Yes!
Inspired. And yes. So they were like, the important thing is to have people singing together. And so yes. they were thinking about how could we do that with the resources that we have? What could that look like? And be intentional about it.
Yeah.
So that has sort of picked up especially since this summer, but especially since COVID, that's been part of the challenge is trying to figure out how do we do this with the budget that we have, with the people that we have, and do it well. I will also note that, like, another fairly significant experience for me with choir has been the IC choir, which sort of has disbanded.
Yeah, I don't know what happened with that. We haven't come back from summer recess yet.
That was one of the ways that we all three bonded. Yeah, was in the choir.
And it normally picks up and it hasn't.
No,
so
it hasn't.
Anyway, so like that has been like another for me, another significant choir experience that is sort of like, who knows where it's going. I mean, it's all volunteer, I think, or at least all the participants are. I don't know if our leader gets anything
extra
for it, but doubtful. I kind of don't think so.
I think
it's sort of a
job.
Volunteer sort of thing. And sometimes you have capacity for it and sometimes you don't.
Yep.
And anyway, but something I personally have noticed, Rachel, through the years with when I have been part of a choir is that I will go through seasons where it's just like a really stressful time, a really stretched thin sort of a time. And I will find myself like trying to think, I'm like, I got to find a way to cut back on something. I need to carve out some more time. I'm feeling I'm spread too thin. And there's often been a time where I'm like, well, what about choir? And then inevitably, though, I will remember, usually as I walk out at the end of every choir rehearsal, is that I always walk out of choir rehearsals, almost always. It's okay. There's been a couple of rough ones, but that's rare. Oh, the vast majority of choir rehearsals, I walk out feeling better than I did. And so it does have a significant, it has a significant stress relieving factor to it. So I'm like, it's not going to help in the way I think it is. If I cut it, yes, I might have some more time, but I won't have the other benefits that it gives me. And so it's probably at best, it's going to be a net neutral sort of situation to cut that one. And so I don't cut it.
Yeah, when good. I had, proud okay. of you.
Yeah. So. Choir's always worth
it. Yeah, it is.
So my story goes back to about fourth grade when we were at a church that had three choirs. They had the adult choir, which sang the traditional sacred choral music. They had the Lutheran school choir, which sang about once a month, and I was in that one. And then they had, and this was such an 80s and 90s, early 90s phenomenon, had a folk choir.
Oh, okay.
This was a precursor to contemporary worship team.
Yeah.
They had a choir that would help about once a month do one of the services. And we had a whole folk liturgy.
Really?
I think I have a copy of this somewhere. You guys might find it interesting.
Yes.
But it was just this weird thing where at this church, in this moment, a bunch of families that had young children all joined the folk choir at the same time. And the folk choir, unlike the adult choir, had a everybody come sort of mentality. And so we would have, like, you know, six adults and six kids or eight adults and eight, you know, it was like, it was a truly multi-generational thing. Mm-hmm. So even though I feel like I've kind of outgrown the music, I have not outgrown the desire to sort of see that multi-generational approach.
Yeah.
So yeah, folk choir was my first foray.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then of course, in college, Ken and I basically kind of met in and around choir. I guess we met outside of choir, but then I joined the choir and then we spent a lot more time together.
Aww.
Which is nice. After choir, I actually After college, it was seminary, and that was a time of many wonderful choir experiences. Mm. Ken being in the Cantorai, and I was in the Schola Cantorum, and we both took part. Our date night was the Bach Collegium, and that was
word.
I know.
So on brand.
And it was at that time that I got a little hint of choral directing, even though I am in no way qualified for this position. I got to direct our children's choir, or was it a children's choir or children's bell choir?
Oh,
that would be a great, we should have a conversation about bell choirs sometime.
We do need to do one bell.
At our field work church, and then at another church, I was actually hired to be the music director and help with hymn planning and leading the choir. Not playing the organ. They had an organist, but the organist didn't really have interest in choir.
Hmm.
That wasn't his area. So I got to direct the choir, and that was wonderful. Like I got to participate in the revitalization of a church choir, which was really fun, and helped me with the next adventure, which was directing the church choir at my husband's first call, which was a lot sadder story, watching the church choir gradually, it was an older congregation, gradually diminish to the point where we only had four women. And then one of them left the church and we had three women. And then my dear friend Irma, who at the age of 95 could still hit a high F, decided that she had earned a retirement from church choir after about 70 years. Mm-hmm. And I agreed with her that that was reasonable.
Yeah.
And after that, the church choir was no more. And it was sad. We did bring it back, Erin, like you have said, for festival music.
You know,
like we all really want to sing this song for Easter. So let's get together like two Sundays beforehand and have some, you know, rehearsals after church and get some. So it wasn't completely gone, but the regular weekly rhythm of choir rehearsals and, you know, like monthly choir anthems was gone. And that was sad.
Yeah.
But since then we joined the choir at our church in St. Louis. We joined the choir at our church in Virginia Beach. We joined the choir at our church in Connecticut. And that was a high point. We really, really liked that choir. We're able to do some really fun music. And so then we came back and we're now in Chesapeake, Virginia, and we joined the choir here too.
Okay.
So, it's always an adventure because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah.
So when you say we joined the choir, who's the we in this?
Yeah.
Case? Oh, okay. So usually it's, well, I drag my husband along.
Okay. Oh, I was just curious. Like, are any of your kids going?
Yeah, actually. In Connecticut, at first, my oldest was in the choir with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then she dropped it. But then the last year we were there, my son and my middle daughter both.
We're in
the choir with us. The middle daughter was actually technically too young, and she was in the youth choir at the same time. But because confirmation met right before choir practice, and she was in confirmation classes, and she had to just sort of sit in the back of the sanctuary and draw or read during choir practice. And then about the second week, because she loves music, she just sort of showed up in the alto section.
Good for her.
And the altos were very welcoming and let her look over her shoulder, one of their shoulders until she, and the choir director was just fine, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she grew so much. And she's the one who's in the choir with us now. Unfortunately, my older kids have class conflicts with their college schedules.
Yeah.
But yes, we as a family like to join the choir. And you never know what you're going to get. We joined one choir and it was a little disappointing after the Bach Collegium to find that really all the director thought we could handle was unison hymn tunes. So it was fine. You know, singing together is singing together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But to get to a place where you can do proper 4-part harmony or even 6 or 8-part, that's really special.
That is more fun.
One thing I love about church choirs is that you don't have to audition for them.
Mm-hmm.
They will literally take anyone. If you are tone deaf, they will find a place for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they will work with you. And they will try to find music that fits the singers that are available.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I know that all of us have benefited from the opportunity to learn and grow as singers
mm-hmm.
because directors meet you where you are. Like, yeah. I remember the IC yeah. choir. I grew a lot as a singer sitting. And that was such a good memory when mm-hmm. I was in St. Louis. Sarah, the soprano one. I'm a soprano two. Aaron's in the alto section. We sound really yeah. good together. But yeah, at the time, Henry Gehrke was uh-huh. directing. And he's a legend, of course. Yep. And I thought I was a good singer. But I learned some new tricks from him that I'm still using to this day and passing on to my kids, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
ways to make the music sound better.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, yes, we joined the choir here about 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks, 4 weeks. Time is flying and not flying this fall. It's a strange,
yes.
strange yeah. thing. The bulletin said choir was starting. So here we came. Okay. And our new choir is small and sweet, and the music selections have been wonderful. The first piece was a Kenneth Koshy original called Return yes! to the Lord, and I was like, now yes! again.
It was beautiful. Ken Koshy. We love Ken Koshy.
And now we're working on a really wonderful arrangement of Built on the Rock, The Church Shall Ooh. Stand for Reformation mm-hmm. Day.
Yeah.
And we're doing a Healy Willen setting of yes! Sing to the Lord of Harvest for Thanksgiving.
Yes! Like, it's just
that beautiful music.
I love Healy Willen so much. Sometimes our cantor picks Healy Willen just because he knows I like it. So that's fun. Yeah.
Well, you would like this one.
Oh, good.
And even though I've only got one kid sitting next to me, having any kid sitting next to me in choir is fantastic.
Special.
Yeah.
She's decided she's not an alto anymore. She's a soprano.
Oh.
And okay. so now she sits next to me and we sing mm-hmm. soprano together. And it's beautiful.
Okay.
And of course, I've got Mr. Chaplin bass two in the back row helping support things in the low notes. And I can't say for sure, but I suspect that after he showed up, our choir director started getting out more complicated music.
I mean, the bassists do have to be able.
If they have a strong person they can follow, that also
yeah.
it gives you more options.
It does.
In each section, if there's one strong person that the rest can follow, that opens up new drawers in the choir room filing cabinet.
It does.
Yeah. You gotta have those good, accurate basses.
Yes. Yep. Like I said, it's just the suspicion. But it's been wonderfully good fun so far. And it's been a great opportunity to get to know a bunch of people at church mm-hmm. a little bit more closely and yeah. get to know names and faces and
yeah.
feel like part of this fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This close-knit community of people who get together to sing to the Lord. Like, it's like jumpstarting your connection to a church
yeah.
to show up for choir.
It's
well, I mean, Sarah,
true.
You know this. You and Luke yep. did it.
Literally yep. what we did.
Yep.
Showed up for choir and then we never left.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the great things about a church choir is maybe it won't bring people into the church, but it will suck them in more deeply, connect mm-hmm. them more truly.
Yep.
And give them something to keep coming back for and a way to contribute meaningfully.
Yep.
So at least that's been my experience. One concern that people have about choir music is that it won't get the young people in. Now, of course, Sarah, your experience is does not bear that.
Quote. No, we're mm-hmm. quite good at getting the young people in with choir music. The kids can't yeah. wait to be in the little tiny kid choir with my husband because my husband directs the youngest kids choir.
Aww.
And it's just adorable because they get to like play in choir. It's fun.
But just to set any minds at rest that might be unsure about this, I did some field research
yeah.
today.
Okay.
Yeah.
I tracked down each of my children, including the two who were on the way out the door, and I interviewed them all about their opinions about church choirs
mm-hmm.
in various ways. So if you don't mind, I've got these on my voice recorder and we can see what actual bona fide young people have to say about church choir.
I love this.
So first I tracked down oldest daughter and asked her what she thought.
Hey Ella, are church choirs cool? Now, I'm the wrong person to ask about this. However, in my honest opinion from the observations of the young folk around me, no. I would say that they are not cool. It's all about the praise bands now, Mother. In all seriousness, they're just not appealing because they don't have that sort of fresh, new zing to them. They're old. They're old-timey. Now, this reflection does not reflect my personal opinions. I think they're the coolest things ever. Hence why my opinion is perhaps not the best to ascertain on the cool factor.
Okay, follow-up question.
Okay.
You say that praise bands, worship teams, are cooler than church, old-school church choirs. Which would you sooner join, a church choir or a worship team?
Church choir.
Why?
I'm already naturally a pretty good singer, if I do say so myself. The singer spot in a praise band would be hotly contested. Like, there's a lot of people who want to be the singer, because learning how to play any other instrument, it's kind of hard, it's a hassle, it requires constant maintenance. Not that singing doesn't, but it's a lot easier to maintain, because you use your voice every day. Basically, it's about, I'm not jockeying for the lead role here, you know?
Oh, so...
I am perfectly satisfied to blend into the background with the rest of the altos.
So, in a choir, there's a spot for everybody.
Yes, there's a spot for everybody.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, so, worship teams are cooler, but she'd rather be in a choir, because there's a spot for everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Next up, I found my son, and he was really in a hurry to go, but he humored me because he loves his mama.
Chris, honest opinion, church choirs, yay or nay?
It really, really depends on the congregation and the pastor.
Explain.
There are some congregations that can sing. The ones that can should form choirs. The ones that can't should not form choirs. There are some pastors who can sing and some who cannot. Pastors can have fun with a lot of things in their congregation, but sometimes a church choir should not be one of them.
Would if you were at a church that had a choir and it were possible, would you join said choir, young man?
I'm not currently in the choir in the church we're going to.
Because you have a class at the same time.
Exactly.
If you could, would you?
I think there's a high probability.
All right. Thank you.
I love that you guys are just dying. So you heard it here. If you can sing, form a choir. If you can't sing, don't.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
So next I tracked down the youngest child who has only, she's never yet joined an adult choir, but she has participated in several youth choirs. And here was her take on that experience.
Emma, you've sung in church choirs, in the youth choir. Was it a good experience for you?
Kind of. Some of the people that joined and some of the people that left were really good. It's just the people we ended up with staying, they weren't that good.
Did you like the music you sang?
All except for two songs, and they were more country gospel, and I don't really like that.
Okay. How did you grow as a singer by being in youth choir?
Well, we had a really nice choir director. Was anyone as good as a job? He wasn't necessarily nice sometimes. And so the music pushed me beyond my limits, but that was fine because my voice grew because of it.
Mm-hmm. How did being in the youth choir help you feel like you were more a part of the congregation?
Well, I got to stand up in front of the crowd of people who were gathered there every Sunday, and well, almost every Sunday, and it also kind of helped my stage fright, so you know, that helped.
Helped your stage fright. Did the church appreciate your singing?
Yeah.
Did they tell you so?
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Emma.
So helped with stage fright.
Uh-huh. She's so
even
sweet.
If there were, it wasn't an unmitigated good in her life.
Very few things are in this world.
Ask an honest question, get an honest answer. Yep.
There's always pros and cons.
There are, but I think she really highlights, and I'm sure Sarah, in your church, you see this too, that it can be a powerful source of affirmation for young mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. to share their musical gifts with the congregation and then receive the appreciation that comes in for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is such a builder-upper for them.
Yep,
it is.
Finally, I tracked down the child who is currently singing with me in choir and asked her a couple of questions. Here we go.
Hey, Ava.
Yeah?
What do you like about church choir?
I get to sing.
Okay. What are your favorite kinds of pieces to sing?
The sad ones. And there's like four-part harmony and maybe some a little doobly-doop, maybe a descant or something.
Uh-huh. And is there any, so you like the sad parts with, okay, yeah.
Well, like the one we did for a church choir with Mr. Chris.
Yeah, that was.
Let This Pass.
Oh, that was very.
That one was so good, oh my goodness. But I also like the ones that are old-timey, you know, like the ones that Grandma likes.
Mm-hmm.
Like she likes The Sparrow.
Yes, the Sparrow song. Do you think that, how do I put this? Do you think that more young people should sing in church choirs?
Definitely.
Why?
Well, you get to meet new people in your church. And it's just a great way, if you want to sing, it's just a great way to find a good group of people that can sing. And of course, not all church choirs can sing, but at least they're trying, and it's a great way to praise to the Lord.
Have you grown as a singer through church choirs?
Definitely. I mean, these teachers have been learned. They went for school. They went to school for this kind of stuff, to be a music teacher, to be pianist or whatever it is that they do, organs, whatever. They know what they're doing, and they're teaching me how to know what to do.
So free music lessons.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, thanks, Eva.
So she's not wrong about the descants.
Mm. Yeah,
I mean, that is kind of the best part.
Yeah, four-part harmony with doodly doos and descants, that is the gold standard for sacred choral music.
Agreed.
And the free music lesson. Honestly, families out there, like, voice lessons will run you $30 to $40 an hour, maybe more.
Probably more.
Probably more. Yeah, you've got a vocal coach for a husband there. Church choir is free.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes you have the same caliber of instruction.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on your context, obviously any church choir I have directed would not have counted as that, but there are some really talented church musicians lending their skills and sharing their talents mm-hmm. to raise up new singers. And yep. I think that's a great thing and something we have definitely taken advantage of to our benefit. And I think a lot of other people could take advantage of that as well. So there you have it. Church choir is not cool, but it is the coolest somehow. Free music lessons. Praise the Lord. I don't know. Meet new people. Have fun. How do I end this adventure? Oh, I'll tell you three things. One, if your church has a choir, join it. I don't know if this is a hashtag, but hashtag save our choirs, because apparently church choirs are in trouble, according to the Baptist press. If you don't have a church choir, ask. Yeah. Ask about it. My guess is that other people would probably show up if the conversation got going. It might just be sort of what Aaron and I have described in terms of an occasional special music that people get together for.
Yeah.
Even that is a win for the church and a win for you personally.
Yeah.
And then finally, I will share my favorite thing about the new church choir. And that is the way we close each week. I love these little traditions. We close with prayer and the first verse of Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Oh.
And it's just a wonderful thing. It might, like, it's a little bit silly, but it's great. It reminds us that, okay, this thing we share, this faith in Jesus Christ, is worth singing about, and it's worth singing about together.
Yes.
And it binds us together, the act of singing together, in a really beautiful way.
This was a fun little romp through choral history. I am very curious now. I think we should run a poll in the follow-up week for this episode for some church choir polling.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
In the group, because I have some questions now.
Yeah, and apparently we don't fit neatly into the ordinary religious landscape demographic polling group, so we have to do our own research if we want it to be accurate.
Well, I think we should do it.
Lutheran community.
Yeah. So ladies, be on the lookout for some polls. And also, I mean, you can just comment on this episode post also. I think we would all love to hear some choir stories of your own choir experiences and
choir pieces.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. All of those things. Yes. All of the choir stuff. Comment on this episode and be on the lookout for some polls in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, and also on our Instagram as well. I'll ask some questions on our Instagram and y'all can comment at Lutheran Ladies Lounge there as well. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
I thought about trying to make it three-part harmony when we closed, but...
Oh, wait, don't stop yet. So, Sarah, give us a tonic, and we'll build it up.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
I'm Rachel.
That was amazing.
Okay, that was worth it.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast is underwritten in part by Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF translates, publishes, distributes, and introduces books that are Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Learn more about their global ministry and how to support their projects at lhfmissions.org.